Where will you run, my soul? Where will you go when wells run dry? When the wind starts to blow, how you gonna keep this flame alive?
In the fading light, when light is breaking, I know you will always be waiting. You'll always be there. I'm running to the secret place where you are, where you are. I'll sing to you all the ways you stole my heart, stole my heart. Better is a moment that I spend with you than a million other days away. I'm running to the secret place. Ooh, 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 ooh.
You are my only hope. You are the rock on which I stand.
You will not let me go. I know that I'm safe inside your hands. In the fading light, when night is breaking, I know you will always be waiting. You'll always be there. I'm running to the secret place where you are, where you are. I sing to you of all the ways you stole my heart, stole my heart. Better is a moment that I spend with you than a million other days away. I'm running to the secret place. Hands are lifted high, hearts awake to life. We are satisfied here with you, here with you. Chains will hit the floor, broken lives restored. We couldn't ask for more here with you. Hands are lifted high, hearts awake to life. We are satisfied here with you, here with you. Chains will hit the floor, broken lives restored. We couldn't ask for more here with you. Stole my heart. Better is a moment that I spend with you than a million other days away. I'm running to the secret place.
So did you get them lined up for the alumni thing, did you say? Okay, good, okay. That was my choice, my suggestion. All right, now here's, we got to do some review. The next couple of weeks, we got some review work to do and everything, so y'all going to have to do this, because if you don't, you're going to get a bad grade. I told them I handed out these sheets Wednesday night, Kyle, and I told them it was for grade. It really wasn't because I lost them. But anyway, here's what you do. Repeat after me. Revival with Don Smith. Say that.
Revival with Don Smith.
Now, here's what I want to do. I'm going to be asking for some commitments out of you guys. And one of the things I want to ask you to commit yourself to do is to pray for this thing. So if you would be willing to pray for Brother Don between now and the revival, raise your hand. Now, I'm not going to say when and how often and all of that because, you know, the Holy Spirit can remind you, but I want you to commit yourself to praying for Don. Don will be the first one to tell you he needs your prayers. And so you be praying for Brother Don and Midge and for our church and others. And we're going to talk about other things too. So now then, repeat this. September 15th through 18th.
September 15th through 18th.
7 o'clock. Okay, now remember, it starts Sunday night, not Sunday morning, but it's at 7, not at 5. Don't show up at 5 because you'll be here for 2 hours waiting. So come. It's at 7 every night. That's to cut down on the confusion. But before we really can have revival, we must prepare ourselves. I know from working with the Billy Graham organization 3 or 4 times that the reason that they can go in and do a citywide revival fairly successfully is because they prepare, you know, long time, usually more than a year ahead of time. We're not going to do that because it's too late. But my job as your spiritual leader is to lead in our spiritual preparation for revival. With that in mind, until September 15th and the mornings, I'm going to be preaching about what must happen in each of us if we want to receive the spiritual blessings of revival from the messages that God is giving to Don even now to bring to us. And I'm going to tell you this, it's not up to the preacher to bring the revival. If we have to depend on the preacher to have revival, we won't have it. The Holy Spirit brings the revival or it isn't coming. Okay, so understand that. But the Holy Spirit uses preaching. He uses His Word, Word of God. He uses us. He uses our prayers. And so I'm going to be reminding of you of that and asking certain spiritual sacrifices from you as church members as this time for revival meetings near, particularly in the area of prayer, as I've already asked you. We should begin to pray for revival. First of all, we need to pray for ourselves. And second of all, we need to be praying for our community. And this morning I'm going to be speaking on the topic, examine yourself for revival. If we really want spiritual revival in our church, if we really want spiritual revival in our community, if we really want spiritual revival in the great state of Mississippi, if we really want spiritual revival in the United States of America, if we really want spiritual revival all over the world, then we must begin with ourselves. It never starts simultaneously everywhere all at once. It starts in the hearts of a few individuals and then a bigger group going out from those individuals and then from that all the way around the world. And we must begin this revival with an examination of ourselves and what our own personal relationship with Jesus is really like. And that's my challenge to us this morning. And that's my challenge because that's the challenge of the Word of God.
That's the challenge of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians is where we will be in chapter 13, verse 5. One small verse, but it gives us some challenges. It says, examine yourselves. So what are we supposed to examine ourselves in? Okay? We like testing here. We like testing here in Mississippi, don't we? We like testing. Anna, you like testing, don't you? She's trying, man, she's going to pass this test. We were talking about that this morning. What if they had a preacher test? Wouldn't surprise me if they're not coming out with that, to be honest with you, the way things are going. You know, what if they had, you know, Kyle, what if they had a test for your job? You know, you had to get out there and you just had 3 times to try to start that chainsaw. You pull on it 3 times and it didn't start, you're out. You're going to be working at Walmart pushing those carts. You know, you know, testing. Well, that's what this is doing. And it's got examinations here. Examine yourself. So here's an examination Paul is giving to the Corinthians. Whether you be in the faith. So that's a good one. Another way of saying that is, are you saved? And then prove your own selves. And we'll talk about that one. And know you not your own selves how that Jesus is in you except you be reprobates. And we'll talk about each of these challenges. There are 3 examinations or proofs that we must do, I believe, here before we begin to experience real revival. First of all, it says we must examine ourselves to see if we are really saved. Write that down. Examine ourselves. You cannot revive a dead person. Write that down. Dead person. You can't do it. I've been on the scene several times when people have died. And they try to revive that person. And that's their job. The EMTs come in and that person has passed away, but they're going to try their best to bring that person back to life. But after they try for a while and nothing happens, guess what they do? They quit. Because they know you can't revive a dead person. So if you are here and you have not received eternal life through Jesus Christ, you will not be experiencing revival, period. Unless you get saved, unless you come to life, you know, you can't do it. Once you're dead, you're dead. The Bible said that it's appointed that a man wants to die, and after that, the final judgment. So the first thing you need to ask yourself when you're considering this idea of revival is, are you saved? You know, Paul is at the very end of these 2 letters to the Corinthians. And he had some reasons why he was writing this verse to the Corinthian church. Because many of these people in the Corinthian church, because of false teachings, had been deceived into thinking that they were saved when they really were not saved. Now, how could he tell? There are 2 things that all through the Corinthians that he addresses about this thing. First of all, write this down. There were very many irregularities within the church of Corinth. Many of the people, now this is going to sound, you're going to say, wait a minute, this sounds like our church song. Or this sounds like another church. This sounds like one of those big TV churches. This sounds like the modern church song. Well, many people were coming to church primarily to have fellowship with one another rather than to worship God. Now listen, folks. If you come to church primarily to see your friends rather than coming to worship, examine your salvation. Because this is an indication that you may not be saved at all. If you come to church primarily to hear the preacher.
You maybe really like the preacher. I mean, obviously, that's the case here. Everybody comes because they like me. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, I've known that. And people will come because they like the preacher. They love Brother So-and-so, and he's wonderful. Oh, we just love him to death. And then God calls him to another church. And it may be a church a mile down the road. And so you're just going to lead right on down there to him and follow him right on down to that church or other church. You know, you're following the preacher. You're not following God. If you're coming because you like, you know, the primary thing is your Sunday school teacher or class, not worship. You need to examine your salvation because this is an indication you may not be saved at all. We as Christians come to church to worship an almighty God. Now, don't get me wrong. It is good and it is okay to have fellowship. We need to do that. The Bible tells us to do that, but that's not the primary thing. And certainly don't get me wrong that we should want to come to church to study the Word and learn the Word and meet as a small group and discuss the Word and all of that. But that's not the primary thing. The primary thing is to worship the Lord God. You should want to spend time with God, worshiping Him. Okay? Now, I understand that sometimes a church's worship service may be to the extent that you just don't like it. You know, you don't like the way they do it. You don't like, so you have trouble with that. But the fact that you're having trouble with that is an indication that you really do want to worship God. So that's a good thing in a way. Okay? So but your goal in coming to church is always to worship God. Look at the Word of God. That's why they came and got together in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So you need to examine that in yourself. The second thing is, and this is going to kind of sound like I'm contradicting what I just said, but I'm not. The Corinthians had a great ignorance of the Bible. Write that word down, Bible, or the Word of God, or the writings of God from the Old Testament and the newer writings that the apostles were turning out. You know, and I thought about that, and I thought, you know, If a person's been a Christian for 20 years and the only verse they know is John 3:16 that they learned back in Bible school when they were kids, they need to examine themselves because that's an indication they may not be saved. If you never study the Bible, if your Bible, when you get home, if you even bring it to church, and I know what you do, you say, oh, I've got it on my phone. I'm going to sit here on my phone and then, you know, I may be playing solitaire too, but you know, I've got it on my phone, you know, and all of that. That's fine. I know your phone's not going to sit on the thing, but listen, if your Bible sits around all week unread, that's an indication you may not be saved. Paul told these people to examine their salvation to see if it was genuine. I can think of no better admonition to the modern church. I'm just going to be honest with you. You're not going to have revival if you're not saved. If you have not truly accepted Jesus, and if there is no fruit in your life spiritually, and if you come to church just as a social outlet, or you don't even care about God, you don't care about God's Word, you don't care about any of that, you just want to play the little game, you need to get saved. I don't care how long you've been a member of this church. I don't care how long you've been a deacon. I don't care how long you've been in the choir. I don't care about any of that. If you do not care anything about God, you don't care anything about His Word, all you want to do is come up here and hang out with your buddies, you need Jesus. Again,
Don't leave here and say, brother, oh, it said we shouldn't hang out with our, or shouldn't be friendly with our buddies. I'm not saying that. I like coming up here and hanging out with everybody too. I mean, I'm not saying that. But more importantly, I like coming and worshiping God. I like coming and studying the Word of God. I like reading the Word of God at home, you know? If you don't, you need to find out why. One reason may be you're lost as a goose. Well, the second thing that we should examine according to this is our faith. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Do you have faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that Jesus was God's Son who died for your sins? Do you have faith that Jesus, through the work of the Holy Spirit, can have an impact on your life today? Do you have faith that this Bible is the Word of God, and that it is practical, and that it is applicable in today's world? If you cannot answer these questions with a sincere and resounding yes, then you need to get out on your knees before God, and you need to ask Him to begin to give you the faith in the area in which you need. Perhaps you do doubt the Word of God. You need to get out and ask God to give you the faith in the Word of God, because if you don't have faith that this is God's Word, you can't have faith in your very salvation, because your very salvation is proved in that book. You know, you can't have faith in anything if you don't have faith in the Word of God. And that faith, by the way, comes from Him. So you need to get out there and ask Him to give you that faith. Yes, there's times I doubt. Everybody has doubts. But that's when we hit our knees and say, all right, God, I'm struggling. You give me the faith I need. You give it to me. Because without faith in the gospel, and without faith in Jesus Christ, and without faith in the Bible, there can be no spiritual revival in your life. Examine your faith, our verse says, for revival in your life. And then the last thing is an interesting word here, prove yourself for revival. Prove. Now the Greek word used here for prove is much stronger than the one that is used for examine, okay? It refers to trying metal by applying heat. Examine means that I'm going to take this microphone and look at it. I'm going to look all at it, Dennis, and I'm looking at it. Prove means that I'm going to take a blowtorch and put that blowtorch on it and make sure that that blowtorch, you know, that's a little different. Probably it's going to look a little different after that too, isn't it? You know, but that's kind of what that is all about there. You know, in other words, if you want revival in your life, make a thorough examination to see if your Christianity can take the heat. If you want revival, don't just say you are a Christian, but prove it to yourself by living the Christian life. Now, when I was a student at French Camp Academy, long, long time ago, really long time ago, I went there in my ninth grade year, and then I decided I wanted to go home for the summer to eat, because I'd lost about 40 pounds, literally. And so I went home for the summer, and I ate. I gained about 20 of it back, you know. And then I went back, and then I decided I kind of liked it. So I stayed from then on all during the summer, and mainly because if I hadn't have, I wouldn't have graduated, because I had to take summer school because I flunked almost everything my ninth grade year. But anyway, we don't need to talk about all that. But we did do a couple of things in the summer besides go to school. And one of it, my first summer there, was work on the farm crew. Now that was an interesting job. The two bosses I had was a guy named Lewis Ward, who I saw hit a cow in the head and knock it cold. Now I'm gonna be honest to y'all, when he did that, that calmed down any mouthing around any of us ever did.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. This cow stepped on Lewis's foot and hurt him, and he just didn't think about it, and he hit that cow, and he just goes, rrr, rrr. The other boss I had was a guy named Marvis Braswell. Some of y'all know Marvis is still around. Marvis is about, you know, this tall. I mean, he's a little guy, you know. And when we went that first summer, we went to work clearing out this place called the Rainwater Place. Y'all know about the rains, where the observatory is. We cleared out all the trees. It about killed me when they replanted all those trees. They about killed us, Lawrence. We, you know, they bulldozed it all up, kind of, and then they gave us axes and one chainsaw. Now, I didn't get the chainsaw, Patrick. Marvis got the chainsaw. Marvis Braswell could still out-chainsaw anybody in this room. I can tell you that, even at his age. He could still, he's a worker, still is. But in any case, I didn't get the axe, which is good. Faith will tell you, I don't do well with chainsaws. But anyway, so we got this, you know, we had these axes. I didn't know anything about axes. How do you tell if an axe is a good axe? You know, do you look at it? You know, I looked at the axes. You know, they had about 20 of them, however many of us there were. And I looked at it, and, you know, if you've seen one axe, you've seen them all. But there was a difference in them. Some of them were harder to use than others. You know, and I knew that. I figured that out. Old farm boys, they knew, and they figured it out. So, you know, I thought, well, maybe if I read the manual of the axe. Then I was kind of scared, because I was scared to ask Lewis Ward or Marvis Braswell for the manual of the axe. That wouldn't, I don't even know if they make those. They make those, Kevin? Probably do if you buy a new one nowadays. They have all these safety regulations. Don't hit yourself in the head with the axe, you know, that kind of stuff. Or maybe I could have took it to Mr. Hill. Mr. Hill could have done a metallic analysis of it and told me what kind of metal was in that axe. But it wouldn't have mattered because I didn't know anything about all of that. I didn't know what to, I could have looked it up on the internet. Couldn't, no, there wasn't no internet. So what did I do to figure out which was a good axe and which wasn't? I used it. I used the axe. And if the axe, because they sharpened them every day, if the axe continued to cut well, it's probably a good axe. If it didn't break, some of those old boys broke them, and I know they did it on purpose. And it didn't fool Marvis because they just ended up working extra. But anyway, you know, if it held up good and it stayed sharp, that was a good axe, right? If you really want to examine your Christianity, examine yourself in the same way. Use your Christianity. Go out in the world and do good. Endure affliction in the proper manner. Go out and confront sin. Witness for Jesus, you know. You stand up for Jesus, write it down in the world, and you're still going to see what your salvation, what your relationship with Jesus is really worth. That's how you test. You test an axe by using it. You test yourself by using yourself and the principles of God's Word. Don't sit around and think about it. Don't justify yourself and by comparing yourself to people in the Bible. Experiment and use and test your salvation in experience. And you can imitate the examples of there's great examples of faith given in the Bible. And if you can do that, then your walk with Jesus will be genuine. You endure persecution. You endure calamity. And you endure a series of disappointment after disappointment and disaster after disaster. When things like this drive you down on your knees to prayer instead of
to rebellion, when things like these drive you to witness, to tell people, I've had these things happen to me, but praise God anyway. When things like these cause you to warn sinners, when things like this cause you to seek the friendships of Christians rather than those of the ungodly, when things like these cause you to hunger and thirst for that relationship with Jesus, then you have a pure and genuine Christianity. You are a good axe. The good axe. It shops all day long. It has no flaws in it. It never gets dull. Anything beside this is worthless and useless. And folks, that's why we have revival meetings. I have some people that are from other churches that make fun of us Baptists because we have revival meetings. They make fun of that. They think, well, you know, if God wants you to have revival, you'll have revival. I agree with that. God's the only one who can give us revival. I agree with that. But how in the world can He do it if you just sit around and don't even do it? You don't try anything. Just, you know. That's why we need to examine ourselves daily. That's why we must, surrender, take up our cross daily to the Lord, and confess our sins daily to the Lord, and repent daily to the Lord. Can your relationship with Jesus do this? Can your salvation stand up to this examination? Can it work all day long? Does it have flaws? Does it get dull? Can it glorify God in spite of everything and anything? And if it cannot, then you need revival. And I guess you can tell by what Paul is saying here in this little verse is this. We all need it. We all need it. Even the best axe there is needs sharpening every once in a while. And that's what a revival is. In order for revival to occur, we need to examine ourselves. We need to confess the sins that our examination reveals. In order for us to have any kind of revival, we must admit and submit ourselves to a holy God. And in order for us to have a revival, we need to ask God for one. In order for us to have revival, we must trust God to give us one. And that's what my prayer is, that all of us will begin in the next week or two to examine ourselves carefully. A verse here says, examine your salvation. Are you saved? Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross. He didn't have to because He was perfect. But He did it because every one of us are imperfect. Every one of us have sinned. And that sin is going to send us to hell unless we come to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross to pay for our sins. And if you are willing to turn to Him and turn from your sins and call upon Him in faith, He will indeed save you. And I encourage you to do that. Examine your salvation. If it's not real, then make it real today. Examine your faith, Christian. Are there areas where your faith are lacking? Yes. That's why I like having revival. That's why I like having other preachers come in here and preach to me. We all need that. I know y'all get sick of me, and so it's good to have somebody different come in. Examine your life. Do you live like a Christian? If not, then I encourage you to seek God's help in doing so. Because, you know, to be honest with you, you can't do it on your own anyway. You can't get saved on your own. You can't live the Christian life on your own. And you sure can't have revival on your own. It's all up to God.
Let's pray.
Father, we pray that you will help us to look at ourselves, Lord. And I pray that if there's someone here that's looking and they realize they're not saved today, they'll come to that point and say, I want Jesus. And Lord, I pray that if there are Christians here that are just struggling because of their faith in you, because of their worldliness, because of their sin, whatever it may be, I pray that today they would surrender to you, Lord. And pray, Lord, we do pray for Don. But as good a man as he is, as good a preacher as he is, as good a pastor as he is, he can't bring revival. And we're praying that you would move in him in a powerful way. You bring it. We turn this time of invitation over to you in Jesus' name.